Princeton Bible College was about. It wasn't about homosexual marriage. It wasn't about women in church. It wasn't about heaven or hell or the Bible or Israel or salvation. The most heated debate came from a strange question my lecturer asked at the beginning of one of our lectures. The question was this: if Jesus was on a 747 and the pilot suddenly died, would Jesus know how to fly the plane? And I know it's probably not the standard way of starting a sermon, but the way I want to start today is I want you to discuss with the people around you what you think the answer to this question is. I'll give you about a minute. All right, that's enough of that. Some of you may have found that as an easy question, but for a lot of people, myself included, it's a very hard one. Some of you might have thought, of course, Jesus was God, he could do anything. Others of you might have struggled with his humanity a bit more than that. And there's a lot of questions you can ask that get at the same idea. Like, when Jesus was born, did he know quantum mechanics? Or when Jesus was a teenager and he went to shoot hoops or stones or whatever, did he land every single shot or did he miss sometimes? Did Jesus ever make mistakes? Did Jesus ever get moody? Did Jesus procrastinate? Did he get crushes? Did Jesus ever tell jokes that didn't land well? Was he ever late or awkwardly early? Did he get the flu? Did Jesus daydream? Did Jesus sing out of tune or in tune? Did Jesus experience deja vu? Was he well-groomed or did he sometimes let himself go? And did he ever eat so much that he immediately regretted it? All these questions are a bit ridiculous, of course, but they all revolve around one big question that I want to explore today, and that is, how human was Jesus? In Christianity, we are used to defending the very important idea that Jesus is God. And of course, I absolutely agree with that. That's why I'm here, and that's why I have this job. And this is important to us because we live in a culture where the majority of people don't think that Jesus was God. And so for years and years, we have emphasized the divinity of Jesus and his identification with God. But here is where a misunderstanding might lie. Both the Bible and Christianity and Christian history would say that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. What if it was equally as important for Christians to believe that Jesus was fully man as it was fully God? I wonder if in emphasizing the divinity of Jesus, we may have minimized his humanity. So the word I want to explore today is Jesus, with the misunderstanding being around his humanity. In the early church, there was a heresy that spread called Docetism. And Docetism comes from a Greek word that means to seem or to appear. And these early Christians were convinced that God only seemed like he was human, but in reality, he was some kind of superhuman spirit thing. His humanity was only a mere illusion. He only seemed to have a human body, but he actually didn't subject himself to human experiences. And because of this, they had some very strange ideas. They believed Jesus did not have footprints when he walked. Only humans have footprints, not spiritual beings. They also believed that Jesus didn't blink. Only humans have to lubricate their eyeballs, and a spiritual being such as Jesus had no such need. But in a different way, this kind of thinking still exists. We struggle to picture Jesus as truly human. One author says that in pop theology today, we tend to picture Jesus as floating a few feet above the ground and having a radiant glow around him. How often do we picture Jesus as a white man with well-shampooed hair that looks as though he was a part of the Swedish pop group ABBA? And constantly has his arms out like he's carrying an invisible 2x4. This is not what Jesus meant when he said, Abba, Father. That's bad. I'm sorry.
That would have landed
badly. Yeah. In reality, Jesus was brown, Middle Eastern, and was born in what is today modern-day Palestine. He was not rich, and I imagine he didn't look rich, and he was affected by the harsh Middle Eastern environment. The Gospels don't paint a picture of Jesus as a superhuman or superhero, not subject to the human condition. Instead, the Gospels say that Jesus grew, developed, found favour with God, at times was weary and thirsty, showed emotions such as sorrow and anguish, at times struggled with God's will, and he was tempted in every way, but never sinned. This is the Jesus of the Gospels. In John 1, we hear the Word became flesh and made his home or dwelling amongst us. The Greek word is logos. Logos was a word that Greek philosophers and scholars used frequently. And for a lot of them, logos meant this: the structure or reason behind the universe. And John's gospel was originally written for this Greek audience. So imagine yourself being a Greek philosopher and reading this verse for the first time. The logos, the structure or reason behind the universe, became flesh and made his home among us. That which holds everything together and makes sense of the universe becomes flesh and makes his home among us. Psalm 8:4 comes to mind. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them? Not only is God mindful and caring of human beings, he becomes one of us and dwells with us as well. What holds the world together was here, in skin and bone, as a person made up of molecules and atoms, subjecting himself to the human condition. Even more shockingly, when God became flesh, he did not make himself a powerful or coercive ruler. Instead, Philippians 2:4-8 says this: Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the beauty of the faith, that the God who holds everything together, who is all-powerful, all-loving, sees his creation struggling, so he becomes one of them, and not only just one of them, he becomes like a slave to them, to serve them, and to ultimately redeem them. So why does any of this matter? Who actually cares? Don't you know the cricket's on? Yes, Corey Anderson, I know the cricket's on, and so is the sevens. So I'll be quick. Why does Jesus' humanity matter? Jesus being truly human means that God can empathize with us and truly understand the human condition. Jesus really can say, I know, to us. Empathy happens when you feel what someone else is feeling. God has felt what we have felt and hurts when we hurt. Hebrews 4:15 says, For do we not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. This is unique to the Christian God. The Christian God is not far away looking down, but is someone who has entered the messiness of humanity and shown solidarity with those who suffer. One of the only good American theologians, Daniel Meliori, says this. If God in Christ is not present to us in the depths of our human finitude, misery, and God-forsakenness, then whatever this person may have said or done, he cannot be the saviour of human beings who know finitude, misery, and God-forsakenness all too well. If God in Christ does not enter into solidarity with the hell of our human condition, we remain without deliverance and without hope. Michael Bird quips that God is for us, God is with us because God is one of us. Others have said that God becoming man is like William Shakespeare writing a play and falling so in love with his characters that he writes himself into the story and its world and helps its characters because only he holds their destiny. Next, Jesus' humanity is important for us because it means he truly took our place on the cross. Hebrews 12:17 tells us that, For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. So we hear that Jesus had to be made like us, fully human in every way, so that he might make atonements for the sins of the people. Because Jesus was one of us, he could truly step in for us and overcome defeat sin on behalf of humanity. And we can be sure that because Jesus was one of us, we don't have to make that sacrifice ourselves or in favour in any way. It's only because of Christ's humanity that our redemption took place. An old Greek said this, What is not assumed is not redeemed. Christ has taken on our human nature and he has redeemed it. Jesus is not only a human, he is the only true human. Man, that picture's distracting, I regret that. If you think I've been talking about this the whole time, then it's too late for you, it's done. Jesus is not only a human, but he's the only true human. He shows us what true humanity looks like. Karl Barth says this, All study and knowledge of human beings is grounded in the fact that one man among all others is the man Jesus. Our ideas of what it means to be human cannot be shaped apart from Jesus. He gives us an example of how to truly live as a human. And he didn't just tell us how to live, he actually showed us. Jesus shows us what humans are meant to be, how God created us to be. Jesus fulfills the true calling of humanity. Jesus reveals God's will for his people. If we want to fulfill our human destiny, then we look at Jesus. So then, God isn't against us being human. In fact, I think Irenaeus said it well when he said, The glory of God is man fully alive. And we are most fully alive when we embrace the humanity of Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit and in obedience with the Father. And when we do this, God is pleased. He delights in this. The glory of God is man fully alive. Finally, I want to ask another hard question. When Jesus ascended to be with the Father, did he stop being human? I think not. When Jesus ascended, he ascended. Preach. When Jesus ascended, he ascended in his glorified body and will remain this way for eternity. This is how Michael Baird puts it. He says, God has placed a human as vice regent of the universe. That bad, is it? Yeah. Yeah. You should go to Bible college, you'd love it there. Or more provocatively, N.T. Wright suggests that it is an obedient human person at the helm of the universe. A human person at the helm of the universe. Have you considered that? That Jesus remains as the obedient human being at the helm of the universe. And as both fully human and fully God, Jesus mediates on our behalf with God. Where there was distance and alienation between God, Jesus drew us back to the Father. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus represents both us to God and God to us. May you leave knowing that Christ truly knows humanity and empathizes with our weakness. May you leave knowing that Christ has stood in our place and taken upon himself the consequences of sin. And may you leave knowing that the glory of God is man fully alive and that the true humanity is found in Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit and in obedience with the Father. The band can come back up. And we'll got prayer afterwards and lunch afterwards and cricket and sevens, and it's going to be a good day.